The message that I have today is Jesus Christ, our atonement. And tomorrow, I think the Day of Atonement starts, Yom Kippur. Yom is the word for day. Kippur is the word for atonement. Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It's the one day of the year that the high priest would go into the temple and that he would offer up the blood, and all the people's sins were forgiven that one time. And as we see in the book of Hebrews and other places in the Bible, it's a picture of what Jesus did on the cross. We're going to talk about that today, Yom Kippur. We're going to talk about what does it mean to have the atonement. And it's two words, atonement and propitiation. Look at 1 John 2:2. If you look at that, you'll see the NIV has one translation and the ESV has another translation. And what's interesting is that the King James uses the word propitiation, but the NIV uses the word atonement, but it's the same word in the Greek. Same exact word, but just translated two different ways. So I'd like to just share with you, they don't mean exactly the same thing. They kind of have a shade of difference, and that's why I believe that I want you to have those translations, because sometimes one English word has a different shade. It's the same word, but you have a different meaning to it. And so I want you to see that it really means both. Amen? So in Christ, the word propitiation, kaporet, which is the word in Hebrew for atonement. Atonement means one thing, and propitiation means another thing, but they both mean the same thing, if I'm making sense to you. I hope that makes sense. How many of you, I had to look up the definition for propitiation, and it was really interesting because while we were putting it up initially this morning while we were getting ready, one of the kids was like, what did they say? They said like, appreciation. Olivia was like, what is that? It was great because it's not a word that we use very often. I mean, how do you say, well, Jesus, I just thank you for your propitiation today? Or you're in the business world and you're going, well, that payment really was a propitiation for what's going on. I just thank you for the atonement that just took place the other day. We don't use those words in everyday life. And so there's a lot of words in the English language that we just don't know. And our English language has more words than I think just any other language. You English teachers know that. And your dictionary is your friend. And thank God my dictionary is on my phone. Let's look at the first one, the NIV. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Atone. Jesus is the atoning sacrifice, and not for ours, but the whole world. Both of those statements are extremely important because John is a Jew. He was Judean. And so John, 1 John says this, in the NIV, it's the same Greek word, though. He says he's the atoning sacrifice. What does atone mean? Atone means to make amends or pay the price or satisfy. So, for example, if somebody borrows my lawnmower. I'm going to talk like a guy. Some guy borrows my lawnmower, and while they're using my lawnmower, they break it. They break it. They're going to make atonement by doing what? Getting it fixed or paying me whatever it costs to fix it. One or the other. That's atonement. Because they broke a trust. I trusted them that when I would let them use my lawnmower, that they would bring it back working. That's a trust. This is from a guy perspective. Okay, I don't have a woman perspective, so... because I'm not a woman. But I imagine there are other things, too, when you trust somebody. Let's say you're getting your hair done, and you say, I like my hair done a certain way, and instead they shave the side of your head and color your hair purple, when you said, no, I want it orange, and I didn't want my left side shaved, I wanted my right side shaved. They did it all wrong, right? They offended you. Well, yeah, but I've seen some radical hair. I see more radical hair now than I did 20 years ago. I saw some pretty crazy hair back then, but when I meant crazy hair, it usually just kind of stuck out or loose and long, but nowadays crazy hair is like not there. Part of it, okay? So someone does you wrong, and they got to make it right. So they give you a wig to wear until it grows back. Something, you know what I'm saying? It's doing something to acknowledge, hey, all right, I know everybody's telling jokes right now. I'm probably getting more hair jokes. Okay, listen. Atonement says this. I am wrong. I messed up. I confess it by making it right. I know that I'm guilty. And I'm showing you that I'm guilty because I'm doing something about it to show you, to make it right. Super important. Jesus paid it all. So Adam sinned. We were born in sin, right? Because we're from Adam. So we were born already sinning. And then we surely added to it growing up. And then Jesus, before we were even born, paid the price to fix God's broken lawnmower and messed up haircut. We wronged him, but he paid the price to fix it. Whatever the cost was, in our case, the only thing that could fix what we did to him was his blood. It's the only thing that would work. That's the highest price. Right? It's your own blood. To your life. Your life is the highest price to pay. Capital punishment. So Jesus gave the right offering to do it. The second aspect of the atonement is propitiate, or propitiation. Have you practiced saying it fast? I can't. I can't say it fast. Propitiation. And that's different. Let's all say propitiation. How is that different? Is it just the same thing? Is it just paying the price? Here's the difference. I break your lawnmower. It's really messed up. I fix it and I give it back to you, and I paid the price. But then, because I messed up, I take you out to dinner. And then we go to a ball game and pay for your ticket. That's propitiation. That's where I just give. I just give. I just give it graciously because I want your favor. I don't just want to do the bare minimum. I don't want to do enough to get you off my back, God. I don't want to do enough just to check off the checklist. I want to go above and beyond. Because what you did for me was way more than just doing the checklist for me. He loves us so much that he will blow, excuse me for using an old hipster word, hippie word, blow my mind with his love. He will shock us. He will shake us. He will do so much above more than we can ask or imagine. That's how much he loves us, and that's what propitiation is. It's showing an abundant grace towards someone where they just, man, I just love that person. That's what God did for us. He put us into that kind of place with God. Hear what I'm saying? He got us in the secret passageway. You know, if there's a very important person, like in the White House, there's like the main entrance. But that's not the only entrance in a very big place. There's like the side door where the very important people come in, the VIP. Why? Because of the favor that they have. It's the favor. It's somebody that really, really wants you there because they love you, and it's not just doing the right thing. It's the loving thing. It's the gracious thing. So that's propitiation. It's a gift to get that person to be so pleased with you, they make you happy. They make you happy. They don't just satisfy their debt. Jesus did both. Jesus did both. This is how God sees you. He is not just tolerating you. You haven't just gotten a C on your test. You're not just passing. You got an A plus. I'm talking like a teacher now. That's a big difference, guys, than just passing. Come on now. Our society and education, they want to do everything they can just to pass somebody. Then they don't know what they're doing. But God gets us where he wants us by getting us an A plus on his report card for us. Because we please him. This is my beloved son in whom just barely passed the test. No, this is my beloved son whom I'm well pleased. Everybody say well pleased. Well pleased. I am well pleasing in his sight. I'm not just being let slide on through to graduate me to get me off his back. That's our culture today. But God ain't like our culture. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that God loves you more than just putting up with you? Amen. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you so much. But we don't know it because we don't act like it. We don't know it because we don't act like we know it. We live below the level of love that God has for us. The whole point of being a Christian is to love. That's what Jesus said. There's only one commandment. That's it. Love others as you have been loved. Say it again. Love others as you have been loved. That means you've been loved. Now, what are you going to do about it? And if you don't love, then maybe you don't know just how much you've been loved. It's time. That's the best way to forgive a hard heart or get a hard heart changed is to open up the floodgates of love to them so that you see just how much you're loved. And that it's got nothing to do with you deserving it. And I'll tell you what, I thank God for the times he loved me when I felt the least worthy. Can somebody say amen to that? Come on, open your mouth and give God the praise. You better thank him. Thank him for loving you when you didn't deserve it. And amen, Lord, I thank you for the grace to love on people when they don't deserve it either, when I'd rather speak a different kind of word over them. Come on. And that's the point of temptation and testing. The whole point of temptation and testing is to see if you're going to love or not. What are you going to do? You going to love? Because Jesus paid the debt, and Jesus put the cherry on top with the icing. How many of you know just cake without any icing is going to be dry? Grace is the icing. Cake is the atonement. Grace is the propitiation. The cake is the atonement. May God's people eat cake all the way. Don't just eat the icing. It'll make you sick. Don't just eat cake. It'll dry you up. And I don't want to be a dry Christian. How many of you can say amen to that? I don't want to be a dry Christian. Always making people jump to my demands and making everything just the way I want them to be. How many of you know the service today did not go the way we wanted it to be? I had a choice in the very beginning. Let go and let God. God, I've seen you do a whole lot more with a whole lot less. And he'll keep telling you that over and over and over again, because there's only one person who receives glory in the kingdom. It's Jesus. It's only one person who gets glory. It's him. It's him. It's not about me. Therefore, I can go with the flow. Amen. 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 Come on. Amen. Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was the box, the throne, the portable throne that God sat on. And the word for the lid. Okay, you got to think about this now. It was a box that had two long poles so they could carry it on their shoulders. And inside the box was the law. It was the rules. It was, this is what's right, and this is what's wrong, and this is what's going to happen if you do them, and this is what's going to happen if you don't do them. It's just that way. That's it. But the law was not on top of the box. The law was inside the box. Everybody say the box. The law was inside the box. It was something on top of it that is more important and essential to having the law inside of you. It's called the mercy seat, and it's the same word of atonement. It's the same word. It is solid gold. The only piece of the, I think this is right, but correct me if I'm wrong later, it's the only part of the box, if you will, that was solid gold. And they called it the mercy seat. And his name is, you know where I'm going with this, let's all say it together, Jesus. He is. God's throne is Jesus. That's solid gold. Pure, the most valuable substance in the Bible. Gold. And it means forgive. It means propitiate. It means above and beyond forgiveness. Above and beyond forgiveness. It's kindness, love, grace, mercy. Love. And it rules over the law And we love the scripture. I love the word of God. I love the word of God, but I love Jesus, the word of God. I love the written word of God, but I love the living word of God more. You see what I'm saying? It's not an either or. It's a both and. You can't have one without the other. See those two? Yeah, they're called cherubs. Yeah. They're kind of an angel. And it says that the cherubim of glory, where you find the mercy seat, is the only place you find the glory of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? That's the only place you will find the glory of God. The manifest presence of God is the mercy seat. Where's Jesus today? He is in the mercy seat of heaven right now, in the glory. And the only way that we come in contact with God's glory is through his mercy.